Right. So over the last few months, our staff has been praying and seeking the Lord about direction for us as a church, where we feel like God wants us to go, where he's leading us and guiding us and directing us. And so today and over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit more about our vision for New Life Fellowship as a whole. So if this is like, if you, this is your first time here at New Life and you're checking us out and wondering what's this church about, man, you came at a great time because you're going to hear about our heart and about where we're going here in 2026 and how hopefully all of us here can participate in that. In 2025, we had a mission statement. Our theme was what? Can anybody yell it out? In Christ, in Christ. And so what that was about is that we believe that because what Christ has done, our old life is gone, and God came into our life, and now we are walking in this new life in Christ. And because we are in Christ, our lives should reflect that. It is changed by the power of his love, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so all last year, we talked about our identity is not in our old life. Our identity is in our new life, and our new life is in Christ. And so with that, what we want to tag on to that is now what? Now that we are identifying Christ, we're in Christ, what is the responsibility? And that responsibility is our theme for this year is called Live Sent. You see it right here in our sweatshirts and t-shirts and stuff is Live Sent. Everybody say Live Sent. Okay, so you're awake, you're doing good. So let me share with you a little bit about what this whole idea of Live Sent is about. So Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 4, 19, he's calling his disciples, and he says this to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So follow him, that in Christ, and then he's going to make us, create in us, this fisher of men, this idea of being active, to being going and living a life transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. We also read what Jesus said in John 20, verse 21. He says this, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. So he says, the Father sent me, now I'm going to take you and I'm going to send you. And then Matthew 28, this is what we've come to know as the Great Commission. This is right before Jesus ascends into heaven. His last words to his disciples, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then a similar statement in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what you see in Scripture is that Christianity is not built upon coming to church one Sunday a week, which is great. Love to see you. I mean, it's awesome that you're here. Happy New Year. I hadn't seen you since last year. You guys are starting the year off right. You came to church. Woo-woo! One for one. You know, and so you're doing great. But it's not meant to just come and sit and go, yeah, 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 and rah, rah, Jesus, go, Jesus, and then go out and not do anything. We are meant to be sent into the world. We are meant to make a difference for the gospel. We are meant to impact lives for eternity. And so the Live Sent encompasses three things, but they're centered around one thing, all right? I know that's confusing, but it won't be. So the three things that Live Sent is about, and we're going to discuss one of those today and then the next two over the next 2 weeks, these are the three things. Everybody say them together. Discover, deeper, go. Those are the three things that are centered around. Discover, deeper, and go. So discover is that we desire that both people inside the church and outside the church will come to a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We desire that I desire that everyone in this room comes to know who Jesus is. We make much of Jesus. Jesus is above all things. Everything we do today is about him. Everything. All glory, honor, and praise to Jesus. Jesus is lifted above all things. And we desire that whether you come to church on a regular basis or you've never been to church before, that all people come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would have a life that is identified in Christ, because that's where we're in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. We want that for everyone. So that's the discover. Deeper is this. Once someone has discovered Jesus, we desire them to grow in relationship with him and others. Spiritual maturity happens in community, not in isolation. So what this means is, now that I've come to a relationship with Jesus, I am meant to go deeper in that. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, whether you were born and you were like, you were born here at the altar. I mean, you came out and you're like, praise Jesus. You know, that's who you were. Or you're 93 years old and you just come to know Jesus. It doesn't matter. We all want to grow in our walk with God. We want to go deeper. We want to go deeper. And so that's why these life groups today are so important, because going deeper happens in community. It doesn't just happen in isolation. You can grow deeper in why you read God's word and stuff, but it gets even deeper when we like, man, let's share ideas. And what's God speaking to you? What's, you know, and so you do this in community. And so that's the deeper portion. And then go is this. As followers of Christ grow, we want to equip and empower people to live on mission, using their gifts to serve others and share the gospel. So every one of us has giftings. Every one of us, even the golden nuggets, has giftings. And we all have giftings, and we want to use those giftings for the glory of God. And so, all right, God, you've given me this gift. How can I use this gift either within a ministry of the church or outside the church, by ministering in outreaches, by being involved in missions? We're going to be talking about missions here in a couple weeks. Being involved in missions, supporting missionaries. We have some missionaries that we support. Being involved in a missions trip. Just all kinds of ways of taking what we've learned and giving it to others. So those are the three areas of the Live Sent: to discover, to go deeper, and to go and share. Now, it centers around one idea, one thing in particular, and that is called the one more. Everybody say one more.
One more.
One more. What is the one more? The one more is this, is that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ here today, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you, every one of us in this room, know somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Every one of us in this room knows somebody that doesn't know Jesus. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus. You're one more. We desire that everyone come to a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our focus as a church, as individuals, is, man, we are gonna pray for, we're gonna reach out, we're gonna do whatever it takes to reach that one person. One person. Our mission statement as a church is that we are a movement. We're a movement for all people to connect to God, to connect to others, and connect to the world. And we want one more person. I'm praying for my one more. This 21-day fasting and prayer that we're focusing in on, man, drop in that name. Whoever that name is, whoever your one more is, you're dropping it in and say, Lord, I am serious about this. I care so deeply for this person who doesn't know you, who if you were to return today, or if they were to die today, they would be lost for eternity. I care about them so much that I'm gonna sacrifice lunch or dinner or a couple days of meal, because I want to pray and I want to focus that this person will come to know you, Jesus. And so this is this is serious. We're talking about eternity. And so we're going to be focusing in on just, man, just that one more, that one person. Every single one of us has that one person that we've been praying for. We may be praying for years and years and say, man, would you grab a hold of their heart? Would you stir within them? Would you remove the veil from their eyes? Would you soften their heart that they may come to a place of surrendering? Because eternity is at stake. And so what drives us in this is, Pastor Ethan said to turn to 1 John 4. This is the driving focus of it, okay? So 1 John is written by John, who is was the apostle or disciple of Jesus. And he writes this letter, and John gets to the point. I mean, he's just laying it out. He's like, all right, this you want to know what a Christian looks like? This is what a Christian looks like. And he spells it out. And so he's pretty straightforward in his talk. And so listen to what he says, and look at how many times John says we are to love. All right? It's tons of them. Tons of them. I lost count. That's how many there is. So, 1 John 4:7-11. Let's read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. And look, that God what? Speak it out. Sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but God loved us and what? Sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So in this passage of scripture, John's laying out, man, love is at the heart of it all. Love is at the heart of who God is. In fact, that's who God is. God is love. And out of his love, he sent his son for us. And he says, let us then love one another, because love is from God. Whoever loves is born of God. And there's a big passage of scripture here. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. That's huge. Right? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And God loved us that he sent his son to die for us and to forgive us. So God is all about love. And in that, we see in scripture this divine love, this supernatural love, that agape love is evident in scripture of how God reaches the one, how Jesus reaches the one person. And yes, he talks to the masses. Yes, he talks to the multitude. Yes, he does things in the big groups, but he is all about one. And I'm going to give you a couple examples in scripture of how he's about reaching the one person. And then I'm going to give you a couple examples in today's of examples of how people's lives have been changed by the divine love of God. So first guy we're going to look at is Paul. He's also known as Saul. Saul Paul, same. And Paul was an enemy of the church. His purpose, his goal was to either arrest Christians or kill them. That was his goal. That was his purpose. And he was good at it. And so Paul is on this road. He's riding on a road to Damascus. And he's not thinking about, I wonder how Jesus, he's not reading Tim Keller books. He's not listening to the podcast, My Best Life Now. He's thinking, I want to kill Christians. That's what I'm about. And Jesus shows up and knocks him off his donkey. If you're in the King James, he knocks you off, what King James would say. So he's laying there. He sees this bright light, and Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, well, who are you? He goes, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting, which should give you pause. If you're going after a Christian church, if you're going after Christians, Jesus takes that personally. And so he radically changes him. He surrenders his life. The scales come off of his eyes. He comes to his realization that Jesus is Lord. He's no longer persecuting the church. He starts planting churches, and then he begins to write most of the New Testament. Why? Divine love. Because Jesus is after one person. And we see this, another example is the thief on the cross. When Jesus is dying on the cross, there's two criminals dying right next to him. One is mocking Jesus. The other asks him for a favor. He says, will you remember me? No baptism class, no Sunday school, no life groups, no, show me your tithe record, no all these things, nothing. And Jesus said, today you're with me in paradise. Why? Because he cares about the one. Divine love cares about the one. And then you have this guy, Zacchaeus. He's a wee little man. A wee little man is he. If you've grown up in Sunday school, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So if you're like, what is he talking about? So in Scripture, we see Zacchaeus was this tax collector. Tax collectors were hated by the Jewish people because basically they were taking money and giving it to the Roman authorities. And they were profiting from it. And it says Zacchaeus wanted to find Jesus, but he was small in stature. And so they made a Sunday school song, he was a wee little man. And so he was small in stature, he couldn't see Jesus, so he climbs up a tree, and so he could get a look at when Jesus is coming by. Jesus is walking by, stops at the tree, and says, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to your house for dinner. That's huge. Well, so why is that huge? He's just going to the house for dinner. That's what got Jesus in trouble, is because he ate with people like Zacchaeus. And why does Jesus do this? Because he cares about the one. It's divine love. It's divine love that makes him stop and say, hey, little guy, come on down. We're going to your house. Cook up some enchiladas. You know? We're going to have some good food. And his life is totally transformed by the power of love. And then the last one I'm going to give you is this woman who is a Samaritan woman. Now, Jews and Samaritans hated each other. I mean, there's racial divide in the world today. Nothing like this. In fact, Jewish people would pray that God would not hear the prayers of a Samaritan person. They hated each other. And so Jesus is going through this area of Samaria, and it's in the middle of the day. He stops by this watering well, and there's this woman who's there in the middle of the day, which is unusual because women come out to the watering well in groups early in the morning. This woman is in the middle of the day by herself, and Jesus says, hey, let's have some water. He goes, oh, you don't have it. They just get this discussion about water, and Jesus says, if you knew who was asking you for water, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. And she's like, what is going on here? And he begins to talk to her about the Messiah, about himself, about how he can transform her life. And she's like, says, well, give me this water. I want this. And Jesus does something that is so unusual for us today when it talks about reaching lost people and having people come into the church. He goes, go get your husband. And she goes, well, I don't have a husband. And he goes, yeah, you're right. You actually had five husbands, and the dude you're sleeping with right now is not your husband. It's like, whoa, whoa, Jesus. We're trying to build a church. You're pushing people away. No, what are you doing here? This is awkward. Because Jesus isn't looking for a butt in a seat. He's looking for lives transformed. Right? And so he's not looking to make you comfortable. He wants to get to the wound. He wants to get to the very thing that needs to be dealt with and say, I'm going to heal that. Why? Because he cares about the one. Divine love doesn't brush over or neglect or make light of sin. He says, no, we're going to deal with that sin right here, right now, and I'm going to love you through it. And this woman is transformed by the love of Jesus and runs into the city. And you know what her testimony was? Come see the person who tells me everything that I've done wrong. It's not the greatest testimony. Guys want to know somebody who will tell you everything that you've done wrong? Come see him. No, thank you. You know, I'm good. But that's her, and the whole town is transformed by this woman's testimony. Why? The power of divine love. The power of divine love. So Jesus is about the one. So those are some examples in Scripture. Let me give you some examples of people who've been transformed by the love of Jesus that have happened just recently. This first one, this is Ayan Hirsi Ali. Anybody have heard of her? All right, a few of you have. Ayan Hirsi Ali, she's a Somali Dutch American. She was a writer, she's an activist, and she was a former politician. For years, she was the head and the main voice for a group called New Atheist. She wrote books, founded organizations, devoted much of her life to undermining religion, especially Islam and Christianity. Then in 2023, God changed her life. She was radically saved by the love, divine love of Jesus Christ. And she stopped doing those activities and started doing conferences and writing books about the divine love and the divine grace of Jesus Christ. And she writes this: "The very thing I gave my life to opposing is now the faith I believe and live by." One person impacted by divine love. This is Rosaria Butterfield. She was a tenured professor, LGBTQ activist, and a vocal critic of Christianity. And she met a pastor of a small church and started to talk to him about Jesus. And she was very combative against him. And this pastor invited her to his house for dinner. Says, "Why don't we come over, and you come over, have a meal, and we'll just talk." So she was like, "All right, guns a-blazing." And she comes in, and he just starts talking about Jesus. Starts talking about God's love, how Jesus loves her, all this stuff. And they had a conversation, another meal, another conversation, another meal. And then finally she goes, "I want to know who this Jesus is." And she gave her life to Jesus. And today Rosaria deeply loves Jesus. She writes books, she speaks at conferences, and lives boldly for Jesus Christ. Because this guy says, "I just want to care about you. I'm not interested in battling you. I just want to point you to Jesus, divine love." And then there's this guy. You probably have recognized this guy, right? How many have recognized this guy? Phil Robertson, famous of Duck Dynasty. If you know his story, you know that he was a womanizer, a drunkard, angry all the time. They did a movie about his life. It's called, I can't remember, The Blind. Highly recommend that. And this pastor went over to where he was bartending and just started sharing Christ with him. And over time, Phil Robertson surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And I dare say that Phil Robertson's probably led more people to the Lord than most churches in America today by his life and his testimony. And now his kids are carrying on that legacy, and even his granddaughter is carrying on. They're speaking all over the world about how Jesus can change lives. The power of one person. The power of divine love. Divine love. And lastly, this person right here. This is Nayla Ray. I'm not going to ask if you know her, because then that'll make you feel embarrassed. She's a former adult film star. At one point, among the highest earners of OnlyFans. And she was raised in a Christian home, but turned away from God and pursued sex, money, and fame. And then she started having a conversation with somebody online who was just posting scripture. That's all he was doing, posting scripture. And so she would comment against the scripture that he was posting. And he would just simply post more scripture. Then they started DM each other, and she would come at him and put down all the scripture that he was pointing, and he'd just point to Jesus, just point to Jesus, point to Jesus. And eventually she says, "Well, tell me more about this Jesus." And so he began to tell her more about Jesus, and she radically changed and had a profound encounter with Jesus, repented of the life, deleted all of her accounts on social media that exposed her pain and brokenness, and ended up marrying the guy who was witnessing to her. It's just, it's This is her on a podcast with the singer Lecrae, talking about how God had transformed her life. Divine love. Divine love. Divine love. Reaching one person, just one more person, across ideologies, across industries, across cultures. Let me give you a bunch of examples. Turn around and look at everybody around here. If you've been impacted by Jesus, you've been impacted by divine love. Right? And it may have happened through a sermon. It may have happened through a friend sharing some words with you. It may have happened because your grandma would not stop praying for you. It may have happened through listening to a podcast or a video or whatever. It doesn't matter how it happened. It happened. Amen. That divine love impacted your life somehow. And you, I once was, but God now. And I pray today that those who are in this room today who have not experienced that, that today's the day where you experience the divine love of Jesus Christ. That today you go, man, I want this encounter. I want to know who this God is. I want to know Jesus. As Paul would write, I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And I want to know what it means to walk with my Creator, to walk with the one who loved me so deeply, who gave his life for me. Life is changed when we encounter Jesus. When we encounter. So my challenge for us in this live sense is to think about that one person who doesn't know Jesus. Like I said, eternity is at stake here. Don't put it off. Man, just say, Lord, give me opportunities. Give me the words. Give me wisdom that I may bring this person to know you. It's all his work, and you're just walking in obedience, and that's a vessel of saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring my friend to Jesus. And let me share, before we close, I'm on fire here, so forget it. There's a story in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 2. It's a powerful story, and it's right early on in Jesus' ministry, and he's teaching, and he goes to this house, and he's teaching, and everybody hears that Jesus is there. So the house fills up with people. Then people around the house start, you know, listening in, and they're all there. And then there's five friends, four who are healthy, one who is a paralytic. And this paralytic is on this mat, and these four friends say, man, that dude in there, he's healed people. We got to get our friend to him. And so that's where we pick up the story. It's this in Mark 2, verse 1 through 4. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And he came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. So you have these four guys carrying their buddy, needing to get to Jesus. They can't get to him, and so they have to get creative. Let me ask you this. Do you have four friends who will do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus? Do you have those kind of people in your life? Man, when you are struggling, when you are hurting, when you are going through the difficulty that we all go through, do you have a friend? At least, you may not have four, but do you have one guy, one lady who will come along and say, we got to get to Jesus, and I'm going to get you to Jesus. Do you do whatever it takes to get that one person to Jesus? We need people like that. Are you a person that does that? Are you a person that will do whatever it takes to get your friend to Jesus? They knew their buddy needed Jesus. And so look, got three things real quick. First, they didn't allow obstacles to get in their way. They saw all the people, they saw all the crowds, and they didn't allow that to, well, I guess we'll just try to find them at another time. No, we got to get to Jesus. So you may, that one more that you've been praying for and thinking about, you may think, well, I asked them before, they say no, so I'm not going to ask them again. Don't allow that obstacle to stand in your way. Or, man, they hate church. They had a bad experience, so they won't go to church. Okay. Don't give up on them. Just because they had a bad church experience doesn't mean that Jesus still doesn't love them. Or they ask hard questions and I can't answer. I don't know how to answer the hard questions. Dude, I face that every single day. People have hard questions, real questions, honest questions. And sometimes you just say, I don't know, but I know Jesus loves me and he cares about me. And so don't let those obstacles stand in your way to getting your friend to Jesus. And then second, they tore down walls to make room. Can you picture this? If you're the homeowner, you're like, what in the world is going on? You know, and they got to lower a mat. So it's not some kind of tiny hole. It's a big hole. And they're lowering him down. Hey, get out of the way, you know. Jesus has got like mud and straw, you know, in his beard and, you know, all this stuff. It's crazy. But they tore down walls to get their friend to Jesus. We need to tear down walls of hate. We need to tear down walls of judgment. We need to tear down walls of pride. We need to tear down walls of religion. We need to tear down the walls to get our friends to Jesus. Tear down those walls. And then number three, they had faith that Jesus could heal their friend. So later on in the story, Jesus looks at the guy, looks up at the friends, sees the faith of the friends, and heals the guy. That's huge. It was the faith of the friends. Your faith goes a long way. There's power when you act in faith. God sees the faith. God is going to bless your faith to do whatever it takes. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to ask. I'm going to invite. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep praying. I'm keep inviting so that my one more will come to know Jesus. God sees your faith and will move in that situation. So the question is who's your one more? Who's your one more? Who will you this year determine, I'm going to do whatever, I'm going to break down obstacles, I'm going to break down walls, I'm going to break down barriers, and I'm going to do whatever it takes so that my friend can come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's our challenge, to discover, deeper, go, but for the one. And it's not about filling more people in New Life Fellowship. I don't care if they come to this church. I mean, I do care, but that's not the point. I want them to know Jesus. I want my friends to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. I want today that somebody here in this room or somebody watching online says yes to Jesus, that their lives will be totally transformed by his love. So I'm gonna have the worship team come up, and I'm gonna pray for two things here this morning. First, we're gonna pray for somebody in this room, maybe more than one or two, whatever. You don't know Jesus, but you would like to. You would like to know more about Jesus. You want to discover who this Jesus is. And so I'm going to pray for you today. I don't know you by name. I'm just going to pray for you. And what I want to encourage you to do, if you're that person, that you take a step of faith and come talk to me, Pastor Ethan, Pastor Johanna, or go to the Welcome Center, to the person at the Welcome Center and say, hey, I want to know more about Jesus. And we have a booklet that we want to give you. It's following Jesus, a step following Jesus. And we want to walk with you. It's not an isolation thing. This is us together. So we're going to pray for you today. And then you have to take that step of faith and say, you know, I prayed that prayer and I want more information about what it means to follow Jesus. Okay? The second thing we're going to pray for, we're going to pray for your one more, that you know them, you know who they are, that this year, in 2026, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So So would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for the person in this room right here, right now, who's feeling the stirring in their heart. Maybe they can't even explain it, but they have this desire, man, I just want to know who this Jesus is. Lord, I pray for them right now. Would they surrender, they would repent of their sin and say, I want to take that step. I want to move forward. I want to move towards Jesus, not from him, but towards him. I want a life that is transformed like those people that pastor talked about. So Lord, open their eyes right here, right now. Give them the boldness and the courage to say yes. And so if that's you, just in your own words, in your own way, say, yes, I want you, Jesus. Come into my life right here, right now. Say it just in this time right now. And Lord, I pray for our one mores. I pray for those people that we love so deeply. Lord, that you would begin even today to stir their hearts, remove the blinds from their eyes and soften their heart, that they would come this year to know you as their Lord and Savior. Oh God, let us rejoice as the angels in heavens rejoice as when one lost person comes to know you. God, let this year be a year of revival, of just one person after another person after another person surrenders their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for it right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you want to be a part of this Live Sent campaign that we're doing as a church, as you came in today, you got a piece of paper with the QR code. You could sign up that way. You could also sign up in the lobby. By signing up, what you're getting is you'll be put on we'll send out a weekly text of encouragement to you. You'll get a monthly email of a devotional. You'll get invited to events of outreaches that we do and worship nights that we'll be involved in. You'll get personal invites to all those things of how you can be involved. You also let us know and go to the lobby at the Welcome Center. If anyone signed up today, you'll get a journal, a Live Sent journal. This is a prayer journal. You can just write in and put your one more's name in it and just start the year out by praying and journaling and seeking God in this way. But let's close with this song.